Saturday, we continue with the Experts Program. Man Lesnick is on the line with us here on Power Talk Radio, 1460 and 101 FM. We're continuing to talk about how you handle large IRAs under the new tax act. There are three things to consider. We were right in the middle of learning about RMDs, and Nan was talking about an IRA that had over $300,000 in it, considered a large IRA, and the RMD could be over $50,000. That's the required distribution. And why don't you pick it up where we were?
Okay, that was actually $1 million IRA.
$1 million IRA and 53,000, so 5%. That's right, because it's the old 5% rule. That's the RMD.
Well, no. It's not that rule. It's based on your balance on December 31st and your age on December 31st of the prior year.
So that's why you say it's complex.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. I keep that chart right close by, or access to that chart, so I can plug it in for each client individually. So we've got an 80-year-old client, which the older you are, the higher the required minimum distribution percentage is, because the government figures they have only so much time to collect the money from you. Mm-hmm. So let's say there's no change on IRA charitable transfers. That did not change under the tax law. So let's just say I am that charitable person, 80 years old, I have $1 million in my IRA, and I do not need that to meet my living expenses because I have other sources of income. What I can do is to have the charity paid directly from my IRA, and we'll just say it's that number, $53,476. I simply, through a process of paperwork, of course, direct my custodian to pay that money directly to the charity of my choice, and that will satisfy my RMD, and that will not become income to me. Now, when we're looking at the income tax rates that are applicable in 2018, we're going to make an assumption here. We're going to make an assumption that our client who has $1 million IRA and doesn't need the money is in a pretty substantial financial condition, that perhaps has a pension, perhaps has rental properties, other sources of income, and a significant non-qualified account. In other words, a brokerage account or annuities or cash value life insurance that are paying income. So he's got all the, I'm saying, he, it's easier if I pick a gender. He's got all these bases covered, but his RMD would add $53,476 to his income. If he has managed to have his taxable income stay below $165,000, let's say he's got his taxable income at about $150,000, that puts him, if he's married and is filing jointly, that puts him in a 22% bracket. If we add this $53,000 to his income, that takes him up to the 24% bracket. And what that means there is he is going to pay a higher rate of income tax on all of his dollars, not just that $53,000.
Okay.
When we jump brackets, we're changing the game completely. So that's why to look at this and say, is there a way that we can satisfy the RMD without having an income tax impact? The answer is yes, and it's worth looking at.
All right. Anything else that people need to know about these large IRA distributions?
Absolutely. And that is, this makes Roth IRA more attractive than ever, and specifically partial Roth conversions. Mark, I can tell you almost every client that I have who is retired, who has significant IRA holdings, is on a Roth conversion path with us. And that is, we are converting the Roth, staying within particular tax brackets based on their individual situation, but doing Roth conversions over time, because in the future, those non-Roth dollars are going to be subject to ordinary income tax. The RMD is subject to ordinary income tax. Right now, between now and 2025, income tax rates are set. But what's going to happen in 2025? Mm-hmm. I heard this morning on your station on the way in that the national debt keeps ticking up. We know that that's true. And it's not because of political party. It's because of the operation of our government. We've got so much expense in operating our government. We're borrowing money to do so, to keep things running, and we have to pay interest on that national debt. As interest rates rise, so does our obligation. Right. When our obligation increases, the government has to have more money. Where do they get the money? They get it from us, the taxpayers. It's a, shall we call it a vicious circle?
Yeah.
In a kinder word, we'll call it a conundrum.
Yeah.
But we need to pay attention to this when we are entering into retirement. What is my taxable income going to look like for the rest of my life, and what can I do to reduce the amount of that that's taxable so that I'm not put in the gutter by higher tax rates when I'm in my 80s?
Yeah, and it is necessary to get out ahead of this, because if you try and do it at the last minute, you may be able to save yourself a little bit of money, but it's not going to be as effective as getting ahead of it, you know, getting a head start on it, you know, and really being able to look clearly at things down the line.
Yep, and I think, Mark, what I want to do is to look maybe next week at talking specifically only about Roth conversions so that people can understand, because so often people come in to see me and they say, well, we're not eligible for a Roth because our income is too high. And that might be true about a current contribution to a Roth IRA, but that does not apply to Roth conversions. And most people can start Roth conversions while they are still working if they're over the age of 59 and a half.
And you mentioned something, a partial Roth conversion. How does that work exactly? And what does it mean?
That's exactly the strategy we use with our clients. So what it means is, let's just take a number, $300,000, as I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
$300,000 is what we now have in the traditional IRA. We can elect to convert only a portion of that. So within accounts that we manage, we always make sure that we have that right and ability to do so. So let's just say we have, call it filling the bracket, we have $50,000 worth of space between what our income is and what the top of our bracket is.
Mm-hmm.
We may do a $50,000 conversion, converting only 50 out of $300,000. As a matter of fact, yesterday I just processed paperwork for a client to convert 30,000 out of a $290,000 IRA.
Okay.
Because that kept him within the bracket that he's in. Yes, he's going to pay tax on that, but it's going to go into a Roth and never be taxed again.
Right. So you were taking the money out of a traditional IRA and moving it into a part of it, you know, this $30,000 into a Roth IRA, and this individual did not have a Roth IRA already, correct?
Well, he did.
Oh,
we did because we did this last year also.
Okay.
We just moved another $30,000 over to there.
All
now,
right.
He's paying tax on that $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
But we did an analysis to see, is over the long run, is that worth it? And what we determined that, yes, it is, because when he's in retirement years, we're looking at the fact that when he's 6 years into his retirement, all of his income tax liability from his retirement savings will be satisfied and gone.
All right. Now, Nan, someone listening might say, well, I have a 401k that was established for me by my employer, but I'd like to get an IRA, either a Roth or a traditional one. Is that part of your business, that you will actually help people establish these accounts in their names?
Yes, if they qualify.
Okay. If they qualify.
Now, I don't mean if they qualify for us.
Mm-hmm.
There are circumstances under which you can fund an IRA. There are some circumstances when you can't. In most cases, yes, we can establish those accounts.
Okay.
And we do that. I will tell you something, that people think that what we do deals with the return on money. It deals just as much with what are the long-term tax ramifications of doing what you're doing. And we're not CPAs. We're not pretending that we're CPAs. We're looking at what will the category of this deferred income be later in your life. And that's what we call tax planning. Different than tax planning with a CPA.
Sure. Okay. So different than what Brett Scholl would be doing.
Correct.
All right, Nan, some great information. I know, folks, that sometimes this stuff can sound a little bit complex. That's why you want to give Nan a call and sit down with her in a face-to-face meeting and really be able to look at the numbers on paper, you know, the various scenarios that Nan can lay out for you that show you how things work. And all you have to do is get in touch with Nan by calling her office in Monterey at 831-656-0236, online, lesnickcompany.com. Her email is nan@lesnickcompany.com. Nan, thanks very much. Good chat, and we'll visit again next Thursday.
All right, Mark.